Anna Marie, it seems that when we think about what has God used over the years in people's lives to make people aware of what the gospel does for someone, there's truth that is theological truth that is obviously powerful. I mean, you see that through the scriptures. But I, as I'm looking through the book of Acts, as I look in the epistles, the Apostle Paul also uses testimony. It's, here's what Jesus did with me. And when you and I first started talking this morning, I was curious, because we've talked for a few years now about a lot of my things that, you know, I'm interested in, things along that line. And you, I was curious, what is your, what are your interests? And you brought me to the ocean. You said, oh, I love going to the ocean because I grew up in next to the Mediterranean, and then ultimately getting over to the East Coast of America and seeing the ocean, or the waters next to Long Island. That's relaxing. But of all places, you pick St. Louis, Missouri to live. And so getting the ocean is now going to be a yearly event. But most of it seemed to be the excitement that God brought in talking to people and bringing up Jesus and talking about the gospel and things along that line. And what a great thing to be into. What a great thing to be excited about. So that led us to a conversation about what is real living. And so if we could, you know, pick that up again, what, for a long time you did, you said this phrase just now, you said something about religion prepared you for
heaven.
Build on that a little bit, and let's talk about that a little bit. But then ultimately a relationship was changed when the light went on for you. So what helped you understand what real living was about? You'd done religion, and you said there was like this cycle that you would go through. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that a little bit. What, when you talk about real living to somebody, what is your heartbeat on that?
Real living to me is the life that Christ lived. And of course, you know, we look at his life and we are like, how in the world can I achieve that? Can I really achieve that? And it, we seem like it's just unreal, but it isn't. You know, I think we're sometimes misunderstanding perhaps how Jesus lived. He lived and moved, and he went about his day, and whoever he met, he imparted words. But they were not just normal words. They were words that connected to what they were doing, such as he called the disciples who were fishermen. He connected to fishing. He connected to farming. He told the parable of the sower. He told people life. His words became life and transformed human beings. And that's what I think is real living, because we are created in his image and likeness, and we reflect him. You can't get away from reflecting Christ. No matter whose face you look into people's eyes, no matter who you look into. Of course, it's, you know, looking in the face of a baby, which you're experiencing right now with your grandchildren. It's just, now you know, you see Jesus shining through their eyes and their face. And the, I love the scripture that says face to face with Jesus, rather than this distant creator way up there. And so maybe I love the ocean because it reminded it reminded that he's the creator. Mm. It reminded me how big he is, how wide he is, how measureless he is. And so in thinking that, you can think, wow, and how distant he is. Mm. But then I kept, as I relationally became more intimate, I look at the ocean, I think, how great is his love. It is impossible to wipe it out. You can't be separated from the love of God. The ocean meets the horizon at the beach, and it's like one. It doesn't end. There is, and that's That's the love of God towards us. If we could write it in the sky, there wouldn't be enough parchment, a writer of a song said. It's just so what started as the beauty of what God created has turned out to be in love with the Creator, but this Creator is not just the Creator. He is the Creator, and that's mighty and amazing, but he's my Father. And Jesus came to demonstrate the Father. Somehow, from Genesis to Malachi, great misunderstandings of God as Father.
Mm.
And so that, you know, Jesus came specifically to clear that up. And
right.
I'm so grateful and thankful. So to know God as Father is intimacy. It moves from religion to relationship. So I grew up, you know, in Italy and, you know, grew up Catholic, though my mom and dad never attended the Catholic Church. I found out why later on, actually as an adult. Apparently my mom and dad eloped, and once you elope, you're not welcomed, and you're not included. And this was, you know, in the 40s.
Sure.
So when my dad then passed away, the Catholic Church, no one from the Catholic Church came to see how we were doing. There was this disconnect. But because I was in school, and pretty much all Italian schools are run by Catholic teachers, most of them, and there's religion taught as part of the curriculum, and there is attending church as part of it. I went to church with my friends. It was from the time that I was 5, 6 years old.
Sure.
Every week, and I went to confession every week. And so my main thought was heaven, and I imagine that that's what was taught to me. I'm assuming that's what you hear as a child. That's what you focus
sure.
on. So getting to heaven and avoiding hell. And of course, then later on, my mom came to hear the good news of the gospel that, you know, you can be born again and be made new and start over. And for her, that was just a huge message, because that's what she wanted, a new beginning. And my dad had just passed away, and she was facing a new kind of life that was not very pretty, raising two little children. So I began to incorporate what I had learned from the Catholic Church. And now it's like, now, you know, God is our Father, Lord Jesus is our older brother, our sins are forgiven. And so I was still like, I was sinning, and I was trying not to sin. I was trying to obey the law, but I constantly disobeyed the law. When I kept going to confession, now I kept confessing to Jesus my sins all the time. So basically, religion prepared me for heaven, did not prepare me for life now.
Mm.
And I think that's the point. And I think that the rest of my life from age 37 on, I wanted to know, how do we live our life here and now on the earth? Heaven is not a problem.
Right.
Heaven is going to be perfect.
Yeah.
It's going to be as perfect, more perfect probably than the garden. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
So there is no going to be...
There's not even the potential of sin.
There isn't,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's not what I have to... I don't have to learn how to live in heaven.
Right.
I think that's covered. God
yes.
has already arranged it. But I do have to know how to live here.
Right.
And what was happening is now I'm a mom with two little girls and a husband and in-laws and outlaws and, you know, a full-time job. And it seemed like no matter where I looked, my life was falling apart. And I couldn't fix it.
Yeah.
I couldn't make anybody peaceful or happy or content or satisfied. No one around me, especially me. Yeah. I wasn't content with how I was managing our home or what was happening in my life. And so I remember when Galatians 2:20 was made so alive to me, it was, you know, on the radio. I was just listening to the radio station, and the reader said, Paul speaking, he's saying, I was crucified with Christ. And though I had heard it before, kind of in the background, I've never really thought about it, never focused on it, I've never meditated on it. I never memorized it, so I wasn't focused. Like, I'm focused on, you know, everybody's focused on Psalm 23rd.
Mm.
But I was, so this was like, I was crucified with Christ. And I go, was I crucified with Christ?
Mm.
You know, when was I crucified with Christ? And how was I, and what does that mean? And so then it is, so I was crucified with Christ, And it is no longer I that live. And I go, well, what do you mean it's no longer I that live? Then who's living? If it's no longer I that live, then am I living or am I crucified? Just caused all kinds of questions. And that began the search for all that that meant and what it meant to be. Then I was raised with him. It's resurrection life. Then I found in 1 Peter that Peter said, we are born again through the resurrection.
So you were saying earlier that you were living at the foot of the cross.
I was living at the foot of the cross, constantly aware of sinning, aware of confessing my sin, aware that I was losing my salvation. I was trying to get my salvation back. It was constantly to get to heaven and avoid hell at all costs.
And so there were good days where you obeyed the law, and then there were bad days where you disobeyed the law. There was good days when you weren't sinning, at least from your perspective.
Right.
And then there were bad days when you're like, I feel like I'm sinning all the time. Yeah. And I'm dropping the ball as a daughter, as a wife, as a mother, as a daughter-in-law. And then resurrection life. Started to, and so you got to the point you were saying in testimony where you're almost laying there talking to God.
Yeah. I wanted to experience what it was to be crucified, but not so much the crucified. I've been laying at the foot of the cross for so long. I wanted to know what it meant to be resurrected.
Mm.
I wanted to live in the resurrection side of Christian life.
Mm.
And so what would it be like? What is it like for Christ lives in me? Because then it says, the life that I now live in the flesh. And that's what I wanted to know. Okay, what is this life that I want to live in the flesh looks like? How am I supposed to live this life? And it says, I live by the faith of God.
Hmm.
Some translations say faith in God, but I prefer the faith of God. Whatever, bless whoever translated the faith of God. It helped me a great deal, because even faith I had to muster up and build and create. I never felt that obviously I didn't have enough faith, because I wasn't obeying perfectly and nobody was happy with me. So it was like I didn't have the faith to even have a relationship that worked.
And that would actually be a work after a while, whereas in trusting in him providing the faith.
Right.
Yeah, it's his work. That's still his work.
It's still his work. So it's like, so he gives me the faith to live my new resurrected life.
Mm.
So it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. The revelation that Christ lives in me, you know, was huge, huge. And then I shifted focus from my fixation for making heaven and making sure I didn't sin and I confess and didn't sin to how do I live this life now in the flesh. And that's the beginning of the journey. I was 37 years old then. And I'm still fascinated by how to live the resurrected Christ life as so much as living it for myself, but then also I learned that from the overflow it affects other people's life. Only for the overflow, not so much from the emptiness.
And so it sounds like that part of your daily goal or heart is to know Jesus. And so I know him obviously through the word completely, because he got even in the road to Emmaus from Genesis to Malachi, he was there.
Right.
But to look at the Gospels, to see what Jesus is like, because of his love, I have him in me as a child of his.
Right.
And as a result, I don't have to go, man, I hope I'm more Christ-like. I hope I'm, you know, doing this. It's, Father, this, you said this is a reality.
Right.
Now, when I meet the person at the store, when I'm conversing with my child or my spouse, with my friend, you said Jesus was going to guide me. You said those things. I want that to be evident in my life.
Right.
Because a lot of times people are going, oh, how's this flesh out for me?
Right.
You know, literally, how's this flesh out for me,
right,
Anna Marie? So, so that's what it looks like for you.
It looks like ordinary life, truly. But with the awareness that Christ lives in me. So I take a step backwards and I allow him to just live through me. Mm-hmm. We are his body. I know we know we're his body, but do we really know we're his
right,
body?
Right.
His spirit, and he lives in us, and he dwells in us. The word became flesh. From Genesis to Malachi, the word was the word.
Yeah.
But in the new covenant, the word became flesh and blood.
Mm.
The word became Jesus. So the word that we call scriptures tells us about the word that became flesh.
Yeah.
So yeah, we love the scriptures. Because they point to Jesus. But Jesus lives in us. Mm. And Paul describes it as Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
The hope of glory. So the manifestation of the presence of God in us is what I long for. I long to see it. When I see it happening, it's like what can I say? It's like when I teach a child and they learn something, yeah, and the light bulb goes on. I mean, I just get refreshed, reinvigorated, strengthened, built up. I get like, this is amazing. This is our Savior and Lord, and He lives in us. So I would encourage you. Sometimes I ask myself, okay, Jesus, do you live in here?
Mm.
And I really...
Yeah.
You know, do you live in here? Yeah. Okay, then I need you to function now.
Yes, yeah.
So
you got to show up here because I'm not...
Function in this situation. And I challenge everyone to ask, is Christ lives in me? And to wait for the answer. See if the answer is yes or no.
Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit, you know, confirms, you know, what we know, what we're taught, confirms. If it's truth, it confirms it. Yes, Christ lives in you. Yes, He lives in every single human being. And that's why life is so valuable. Because every single human being, regardless of their behavior, now this is hard to take,
sure,
but we need to understand this. Regardless of their behavior, they're created in God's image and likeness.
Right.
It's just that
it's amazing.
It's just that they don't know it.
Right.
And that's what the gospel is, telling people who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that God lives in you? He truly, truly loves you. And they go, yeah, but you don't know what I've been. No, it's okay. I mean, it's not okay that you behave that way because it hurts, doesn't it? It causes pain.
Yeah.
But you need to know that He loves you and He's never been separated from you.
Mm-hmm.
The cross is proof of the love of God. The resurrection is proof that He was God. And living in us is proof that we're His body.
Mm. It's interesting you said the thing to Malachi, because he, the last verse of Malachi,
yes,
and He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, yes, and the hearts of children to their fathers.
Yes.
And so that's been your heart cry, is mm-hmm. knowing the Father who was there at creation in Genesis 1, and actually the whole Trinity was there, but
right,
then it's like you're not getting the love of the Father. And I've went through creation, I've went through patriarchs, I've went through judges, I've went through prophets, I've went through kings, and I go through prophets again, and you still don't get it. So I'm going to have to send my Son
mm-hmm.
to give you an understanding of what it's like to have an Abba Father,
yes,
relationship.
Yes.
So that's,
yes,
what you—that's the drum you're,
yes,
beating. That's,
yes,
your heart.
Exactly.
Okay. And let me read for those of you that don't have a Bible next to you, and you may for the first time are hearing about this real life. Let me read to you from the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20. It says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." So is there anything else that you have this morning that you want to say, or we can build on it another time? Is there anything else?
We can. What I want to say is that to focus and think and meditate on all that means.
Mm.
Because revelation, God will reveal Himself to you. You don't need anyone else to reveal themselves to you. You need no one else to teach you what this means. The Holy Spirit Himself will reveal Jesus to you.
Sure.
And will reveal the union that you have with Him.
Mm.
Because Jesus prayed before He went to the cross for this very thing, that we may become one.
Mm.
He prayed for those that would believe after the disciples. That's us.
Right.
they will become one. So that oneness is in sharing his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. And of course, that puts us sitting at the right hand of the Father with our enemies under our feet.
Yeah, positionally amazing.
Positionally, right. Yeah. That's where we're, our destiny is.
Well, would you pray for the person that's listening to this, but they just need some encouragement right now?
Father, we're so thankful that you didn't stay in heaven and shout down to us so that we would hear you, but you were in Christ Jesus when he was on the cross. You were in him reconciling the entire world to yourself. Father, I pray that we would see and we would hear what you have to say, and we would understand with our heart that we are reconciled to you now. Mm. Now you're asking us to be who we are. Be reconciled. Don't fight it. You already reconciled to Christ. Just enjoy it. Acknowledge it. Live in it. Live the reconciled child that you are, that Christ has provided through his death, burial, and resurrection. Father, I pray that you will reveal to every single person that is hearing my voice and is hearing your voice speaking, that they may truly know that it is to be crucified to the old, is to be crucified to all that Adam brought, and to be resurrected to the new is to be resurrected to the life of Christ. And so we live now, not from the life of Adam, but from the life of Christ, the life that now we live in the flesh. And of course, heaven is as sure as there is God. And we're trusting and content and satisfied to know that our home with you is secure forever. Amen.
Amen.